Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, January 20th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Constitutional Court has outlawed child marriages in Zimbabwe.
As a child rights organization, today we join millions of girls across Zimbabwe in celebrating this landmark ruling. There is now no justification for child marriages.
And have you ever imagined what vice presidents in Zimbabwe do? Well, we will give you more details.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Zimbabwe's highest court, the Constitutional Court, has outlawed child marriages, decreeing that any person who intends to get married should be at least 18 years of age. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripas has more details from Harare.
The ruling follows an application by human rights lawyers who wanted the legal age of marriage to be moved to 18 for both men and women. The case was filed by former finance minister and leader of the People's Democratic Party, Tendai Biti, and two minor children. Following the court's ruling, Biti, who is also a lawyer, described the judgment as an important milestone in the protection of women and children's rights.
The court has passed what I can only describe a revolutionary judgment for women and for girl children. The declaration that with the customary law, whether in terms of religious rights.
He added that he was not happy that the legislature was taking its time to align several laws to the new constitution so that women and children's rights were protected. Prominent human rights activist Justina Mukoko of the Zimbabwe Peace Project said that enforcement of today's ruling is going to be easy without the realignment of other pieces of legislation, arguing that the national constitution supersedes any legislation.
Well, in this regard, my understanding is that from today on, if anyone does anything to the contrary, they are going to find themselves on the other side of the law. And I think probably the other thing that we need to consider is that we are putting too much effort in terms of the realignment of laws.
Mukoko urged rights activists focusing on women and children's rights to launch massive campaigns to ensure that all the country's citizens are aware that child marriages are illegal and unconstitutional.
I think a spade just needs to be called a spade. And I know that my colleagues in the women and children sector have worked tirelessly for this. And I think this should really clear the way for them to launch campaigns that will ensure that in the future we do not have children who are married off.
Angela Machonesa of Plan International said they are happy with the ruling.
As a child rights organization, today we join millions of girls across Zimbabwe in celebrating this landmark ruling. There is now no justification for child marriages. There is now no hiding behind culture, religion, or any other issue to perpetuate child marriage. The Constitutional Court, with its mandate to administer the supreme law of the land, has set the tone with regards to child marriages. Therefore, our future generations, especially girls, who are at risk of child marriage have now been protected by the law.
Some activists say many children were being forced into early marriages because of poverty, while some parents were covering up for statutory rape by forcing their children to be married to their abusers. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Some Zimbabweans appear to be unaware of the role of vice presidents who are not allowed to perform certain functions of the president when he's not on duty. Zimbabwe has two vice presidents that earn thousands of dollars in a nation struggling to generate revenue for capital and recurrent expenditure. One of the vice presidents has allegedly spent millions of dollars in a hotel in hotel accommodation since his appointment a year ago. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera highlights some of the roles of vice presidents in Zimbabwe.
Section 100 of Zimbabwe's constitution clearly stipulates that whenever the president is absent from Zimbabwe or is unable to exercise his or her official functions through illness or any other cause, those functions must be assumed and exercised by vice presidents or a minister chosen by the president or cabinet. The constitution say the acting president is forbidden from exercising certain duties such as the deployment of defense forces or entering into any international convention or treaty. The acting president, as the country's supreme law, cannot revoke the appointment of ministers, deputy ministers, or assign functions to ministers or deputy ministers. Like what President Mugabe once said, Vice Presidents Pelekezela Mpoko and Emmerson Mnangagwa have to play to his tune. One of them is currently an acting president at a time Mr. Mugabe is on holiday in the Far East. Independent political commentator Fortune Gwazi says Zimbabwe would do well with only a single vice president instead of having two, as they are mere figureheads.
In accordance with the constitution, which is section 99 of the constitution, the role of the vice president is to assist the president in the execution of his duties, his or her duties. The roles are very necessary because, you know, the president is not an ever-present person.
Another political commentator and media center director Ernest Mudzengi concurs.
He or she who becomes acting president in this country does not have much in terms of real power. I think it's more of a ceremonial post than anything else. We know for certain that an acting president cannot chair cabinet. And from that perspective, you can tell that nothing more can really be done by the acting president, except to say that he will be the point person between the issues and the actual president.
Owen Jiwayo, a local political activist, says the vice presidents who act in his position when he's away do not assist him, but are merely told what to do.
When you look in Zimbabwe, their interpretation is that you assist, you wait for Mugabe to tell you what to do. So that's assisting in Zimbabwean context.
First Lady Grace Mugabe was once quoted in the local media as saying the two, Mnangagwa and Mpoko, took notes on what to do from her and Mr. Mugabe. Some Zimbabweans who spoke to Studio 7 professed ignorance on the role of the vice president or acting president, while others like Clifford Hyachwayo said their role was unclear.
So the role of the two vice presidents of Zimbabwe, that is Emmerson Mnangagwa and Comrade Mpoko, is not clear, and I don't think their necessity is necessary in terms of bringing change, in terms of bringing development in Zimbabwe.
Harare lawyer Musindo Ungwe said the vice presidents are just figureheads as they do not have powers to carry out executive functions of a president.
So basically all the executive functions that are the epitome of the presidential power are taken away by that exception, which is contained in subsection 2 of section 100. So if you are to ask me, the long and short of my response would be the vice presidents are simply there as figureheads. They do not have any executive functions. They wait to be appointed functions and duties by the president as and when he deems fit.
But for ZANU-PF activist Terence Tadzungaira, power or no power, it does not matter, as what is important is that they gain experience when they act as president.
They're learning. What we basically need them to do is to understand the vision of our president, Robert Mugabe, as well, of the party. So we believe the two vice presidents are acting with the belief of ZANU-PF's ideologies.
According to the constitution, the functions of the vice president are to assist the president in the discharge of his or her functions and perform any such other functions as the administration of any ministry, department or act of parliament that the president may assign to them. For example, Mr. Mugabe has assigned Mnangagwa to be in charge of the justice ministry, while Mpoko deals with peace, reconciliation and national healing issues, among other duties in government. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.